number two, hour number two on a Friday. We're talking all things Denver sports for you. Nuggets up 3-0 in the best of seven round one series versus the Lakers. The Avalanche coming home, tied 1-1 in the best of seven series against the Jets. They'll drop the puck tonight at 8 o'clock down at Ball Arena. And of course, story of the day is the Denver Broncos finding their quarterback. Bo Nix was drafted by the Broncos 12th overall. Sean Payton got his guy. It was who they had identified. Talked about moving back, but just didn't do it. Is it your guy, Broncos country? Love to hear from you. 303-713-1043. You can join us there. Always love your thoughts right there on the RamosLaw.com text line. Stoke, you and I are fired up that it is a quarterback. They needed to address that. We don't know what the future is going to look like with Bo Nix. I don't know that he's going to save this franchise. That's now his job, is to save the franchise. But I can tell you with certainty it's going to happen. Just like all of you naysayers can't tell me with certainty it's not going to happen. So we're choosing to look at it from the other side of it, the optimistic side of it. And that doesn't mean I'm sitting here saying, wow, the Broncos just got Bo Nix. Watch out, Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, because we're here to contend. No, 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 no. That's not how I feel. I just think this was the right one right step in the right direction where you need 50 more steps in that right direction.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be optimistic because, you know, we put our faith and trust in Sean Payton, right? That's the Greg Penner and company. They hired him to come in here and do his thing, work his magic. It's been a disaster. Sean Payton, here you go. You got a blank canvas. Get this thing fixed. He took over a tough situation with Russell Wilson, right? And realized it wasn't going to work. Done with that. Like, yep. We don't have time to waste. Done. Boom. We're moving on. Got it. $50-something million cap hit this year, 30-something next year. And now we got to find a quarterback. Sean said this was his guy. This was his guy. And so, all right, let's go. I mean, he got his guy, and now we can try to start rebuilding this thing the right way. And hopefully, hopefully Bo Nix is the answer at the quarterback position. So I'm optimistic that this will work. There's no looking back here and saying, well, you know, Sean could never get a quarterback. Is this bad luck? You know, he just never drafted one, and they were never in a position to get the guy he wanted. This is the guy he wanted. If he fell to him, they didn't have to move up and spend more draft capital to get a quarterback. And if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance. We got a quarterback, and it was Sean Payton's guy.
Yeah. I like this text on the RamosLaw.com text line from the 720-299. Hey, Stoke and Josh, just remember our Colorado Buffaloes barely lost to Caleb Williams, USC, by 7 points. Bo Nix and the Ducks destroyed them 46-6.
Yeah, I remember.
That's a fun little comp, right? Of, hey, we've watched both of these guys up close and personal, and Caleb was always going to go number one, so that's not really a comp. But I like that they're saying, hey, we saw it firsthand, but it's right there. And then another texter, this is kind of where you and I are, of, all right, they're trusting in Sean Payton. Texter writes, Sean Payton's going to know more than me about Bo Nix. I'm going to trust in that.
Yeah, it's hard. I don't care who you are. I mean, you'd be the brightest football mind in the world. It's hard to project quarterbacks going from college to the NFL. So everyone tries to do it, and a lot of people miss. So we'll see. We'll see what this one looks like for Sean Payton. But this is all we can do right now. So it's been bad. Why? Let's look at this situation and be optimistic about it and hope that it works out. And that's the route that I'm going to choose to go down here. And I'm excited about the pick until Bo Nix shows me he can't play. And until then, I'm going to be excited about it.
That's right.
Chicken Fingers was thrilled. That was your guy, Chicken Fingers?
Chicken Fingers fired up for it.
Yeah.
Was your guy from day one, right?
Day one.
Yeah, it was.
Me and Sean, man, we're coinciding.
I mean, nobody evaluates quarterbacks like Sean Payton and Chicken Fingers.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean,
everything I said in my tweet a few months ago is exactly what Sean said in his press conference and what I like about him. So.
He's right. Wow. He's right. He's literally spot on. He nailed it.
Do you have a source over there? You and Sean, like...
No. I just know how to evaluate quarterbacks.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, maybe Sean needs to call you up. We can get you in the scouting department, huh?
Yeah.
Take over for George?
I should have done that 5 years ago.
All right, what number, Chicken Fingers? What number are we going to go
any
with?
Any number he wants. Any number he wants.
Seven.
Give him seven.
Oh, give him seven.
Give him seven.
We can get
He deserves it.
How about 18?
Yeah, I mean,
that's just too much pressure. Or
I feel like that's a lot of pressure, but
what if Peyton just blessed him and just called him up? Because you know Peyton probably already called him.
Of course,
right? Yeah. I mean, he reached out to Zach Wilson, like, so Peyton, he reached out to J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
So you know he already called Bo Nix, welcome him to Denver. Good job, Peyton. Mm-hmm. Good job, Peyton.
He's our brand ambassador.
Exactly.
We need him to do that stuff.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Like, should he just say, hey, if you would like 18, I would like for you to wear 18 and be the next great 18 quarterback. We had Trapuka,
yeah,
Banning. And then Bo Nix. It's like almost 88 for Dallas Cowboys wide receivers.
Oh, I like that.
We're not going to retire that number.
Yeah.
Like, the next great one is going to wear that one, right? And so would we need the Trapuka approval also, or is just Manning could handle that?
No, the GOAT can do it.
Okay.
Yeah, he speaks for everyone.
He speaks for everyone.
He speaks for everyone in the state, yeah.
Yeah, he really does. Yeah, he actually does.
Exactly. Yeah. So 18, I think, could be in play. And, like, we just start making it like the Dallas Cowboys 88.
Yeah,
we, you know,
I like that a lot.
Right? And like, you come play quarterback here, if you're like highly touted, you're going to wear 18.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what number you want. You're 18. We're telling you.
There is a report that right now, who has it? Zach Stevens of DNVR is saying that the numbers 0 through 20 are currently unavailable.
All of them.
They're already spoken for. And then it's 7 and 18 are the ones that are retired, so that's a part of that not being available. In fact, the report is the only number available 0 through 20 where quarterbacks tend to live is 16. Was that was Plummer, right?
That was Plummer.
Oh, so 16 is available.
16 is available.
Let me see who we got to cut here pretty soon so he can get his number that he wants. We got to look at the roster here, okay?
I mean, if he wants 10, shouldn't it just be a battle between him and Zach? Whoever wins the job gets the job and the jersey?
No.
Zach's got seniority?
Yeah, Zach's got 10. I'm just looking at the...
He's got 8 day seniority on him?
I mean, like, you know, Jalen Virgil's 15.
Who?
He could get that number taken. Philip Dorsett's 13. Yeah, he could get cut tomorrow. If
they're both
if
wide receivers?
Yeah.
Okay.
If your quarterback once is like, all right, you don't want to give it to him? Okay, bye.
Yeah.
You know? Lil Jordan, 17.
I like Lil Jordan.
I do too.
Okay.
All right, I'm just giving this. I'm not saying we're going to cut everyone here, but.
Cut everyone 0 through 20. Let Bo pick whatever number he picks. Bring the other guys back.
Ben DiNucci's 11.
Let
me get that. Sorry. I'm going to take that 11 from you. So there, I mean.
Ben's key card doesn't work this morning, right?
No, it's done.
Yeah.
Definitely doesn't work. So, yeah, I mean, Ben's not going to be around much longer, right?
No, it's over for Ben.
Yeah. Do you think they keep him just to keep him for a little bit during the offseason?
No.
I mean, because we only got so many reps anyway.
Right.
And we don't need four quarterbacks.
I'm not even sure. This is a conversation for later, but I'm not even sure.
Well, that's a conversation for later. Right now we're talking about cutting DiNucci.
Okay. Let's only cut one guy at a time.
Right. And like, even if he was a scout team quarterback, those reps can go to Stidham or Zach Wilson.
That's right.
Or our new quarterback, right? You don't even need him to run scout team. We got other guys that can run scout team also. Yeah. So, no need. So, there you go. 11's open.
Okay.
Bo, if you'd like 11. If not, we got some other guys that we can cut.
I mean, at this point, with Chicken Fingers' new role, let him run scout team.
That's what I'm saying. We got to get you a front office job over there,
Chicken
Fingers.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
we would have been in the playoffs at least a couple years after the Super Bowl.
There's no doubt about that.
I agree with that.
Right.
I agree with that. I want to keep this conversation going. I want to hear a little bit.
Could you imagine how well you would eat over there?
Chicken fingers all day.
Yeah.
Every day.
I mean, it's a 5-star restaurant in there pretty much. I mean, you would be in heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Like, where's Chicken Fingers at? Oh, he's in the cafeteria again. Him and Manning chopping it up.
There we go.
You know, Manning's getting his snacks, and you're eating your chicken fingers, friends.
I'd hire you as a consultant.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, perfect.
You got a job now.
I love it.
You got an office.
Love it.
Oh, you get an office?
You got Russ's office.
Oh.
Let's hear from Bo Nix on him, knowing when he thought the Broncos like him, and also his ability to adapt to new offenses, which he's obviously going to have to do now with Sean Payton's new offense. That's coming at you next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
But I tell you right now, y'all only live cowgirls. Never gonna settle on down, girl. Leave you in a lonely ghost town, girl, where the sun don't rise.
Rodeo 411. Bo Nix is going to be introduced today at 2 o'clock.
Bo Nix is a Mustang.
That's right.
Shaking fingers. Yeah.
That's a nice jam right here.
Yeah.
Nice jam on a Friday.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
I'm already out of myself. Saturday in my mind, I guess.
Yeah. You've already clocked out.
Right. And we're going to get the rain right when we get off work today. So.
Of course. That's all right.
That's how it works.
Hey, we're just paying a few more taxes.
That's right.
Hey, everything's going to be popping here in a couple weeks because of all the moisture. Mm-hmm. And that's how we got to approach this and look at it.
That's right. 80 degrees next week. It's coming. It is coming. I want to hear a little bit from Bo Nix. I want to hear about his learning a little bit about Sean Payton, learning a little bit about the Broncos. And I want to start with what made him believe in Sean's scheme being a fit for him at the NFL level.
Well, I think when you just when you look at their offense, when you look at the scheme, a lot of really fun concepts that I've run in the past, a lot of things that I've been able to do and have success in. And we were able to just talk over those and communicate those. And I believe just talking football is one of the best things you can do in the process. And that's what we did a lot of.
You know Sean loves that, right? Just talking football, going through. Sean throwing something at Bo. Bo, you know, taking it all in, then giving the answer or the result, whatever it is that Sean. And it's just, you know, a couple of guys talking the game that they love the most. And that's stuff that Sean wanted, about processing. And then we learned last night more about the pre-draft visits of him giving Bo Nix a ton of material, and Sean saying, oh, yeah, he's cramming all night, but then was impressive the next morning. He knew more than we thought he was going to know. I just look at Sean and Bo as Bo's got a lot of work to do, 100%, but like their football process and their minds, they seem to be on the same page pretty early on.
Yeah, is Bo Nix the one that's supposed to be like a really smart, genius type of quarterback, chicken fingers? Is that the...
See, that's what Cecil said last night.
That's what Cecil said. Yeah. Okay, all right, yeah. So
he's a genius?
I hope so. That's good. I mean, very smart quarterback, right? So Sean probably won't be yelling at him on the sideline about you're hot to the running back. I think he'll probably know that, hopefully, all right? And can do the basic things of playing the quarterback position. And so, yeah, we'll see what it looks like. Certainly, if you've had some experience with the same route concepts that Sean likes and things like that, that will help. So we'll see. We'll see, like, those two together, what kind of fit it's going to be. Mm-hmm. But it seems like it's going to be a good fit. If he plays well, it'll be a great fit, right?
Yeah. Here's Bo talking about that pre-draft process.
Well, we talked a lot of football, and we talked a lot about his scheme and what he's done for so many years and how he's been so successful. But it was a blast talking football, to be honest with you. It was a blast being in there with him and the other coaches. And I mean, they brought a lot of guys out there to the private, and I was just, very honored to have them around. I know it's tough to get to Eugene, but I was super excited, super thrilled to work with them. Had a blast, and I definitely saw a great relationship there at that moment. So just happy to be a part of their team now.
Is that maybe one of the giveaways of how many people went to it? Mason was talking about that too, Andrew Mason, our own, of like, hey, a Sean Payton-led group went to Bo Nix's private workout and kind of led by Sean, him doing all the work, him doing all the talking and evaluating. Is that's kind of a giveaway, right, for the player at least?
I don't think so.
How many people normally go?
I don't know.
Okay.
Only one went to mine, and, they sent me, like, the receiver coach to mine.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a receiver coach for the Cowboys and the receiver coach for Washington and the Ravens. And there was no, like, not even the offensive coordinator.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
they just probably trust that guy a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure. I really trusted him a lot. They're probably busy,
Right.
Had more important things to do.
Those golf balls aren't going to hit themselves.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's starting to be golf season, I think, and that's the hard part about this whole thing. Like, okay, you sent a big group out there, mm-hmm. right? You had Sean, you had all these guys, because you want to do your homework. You want to evaluate Bo Nix, and so you want everybody there. This is an important draft pick. I don't know if they did the same for Michael Penix Jr. Didn't hear about it. Did they do that for J.J. McCarthy? So, like, just because you sent a lot of people, that just tells me you're very interested in that person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens if you leave? You're like, oh, he sucked. Well, it doesn't matter if you send 50 people there. You're not going to pick him. You know what I'm saying? So I think it just showed that the Broncos were doing their due diligence when it comes to the quarterback position, and they liked what they saw from Bo Nix throughout his college career, and they wanted to do a little bit more homework. And so, hey, let's go. I mean, what's a big – like, we're taking a private plane. We got extra seats, y'all. Just come along here, right?
Right.
I mean – so it's not like it's a big deal to take three or four extra scouts to get their opinion on the player. And certainly I don't think it's a giveaway, because I think sometimes you just do it just to say, hey, like we were talking about yesterday, we really like Michael Penix. Let's throw this thing over here, and we're going to bring 30 people to Eugene to watch Bo Nix so people don't know that we love Michael Penix Jr. So they you have that stuff also.
Yeah. Texters are remembering the word that Cecil used. Cecil called him a supercomputer.
Ah, there we go.
Supercomputer was the term that he used. And that's
people also
solid.
Refer to me as supercomputer also.
They do?
Yeah,
okay.
A lot.
Yeah.
Just I take in info and it just
stays. Yeah.
Yeah, it just never goes. It's like, just let me know.
Yeah.
Spit it out.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
I picked that up from you.
Yeah,
working,
haven't you?
Yeah, I thought.
It might a little bit sometimes rubs off on
sure.
my partner. It did for Zach.
Yeah.
He went from just like being a complete ding dong to
he's a superstar now.
Just a ding dong.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. So hopefully that can it wears off on you
yeah,
also.
Well, I'm waiting. I'm still waiting to kind of get some of that trickle down.
Yep. It's slow process.
Slowly but surely.
Yeah.
Slowly but surely. All right, we're gonna get back to the conversation because it's a big day for the Broncos. They got a quarterback. Broncos country always want to know how you feel on the text line. Gotta tell you about our fan flyaway. It's back. Four buckets this time. Yeah, you and a guest could be on your way to a road game for the Pro Basketball Championship in June. If you go to denversports.com/fanflyaway, register, claim your special offer from Sport Clips, you could be getting two tickets to the game, round-trip airfare for you and a guest to wherever the destination is going to be. We'll put you up in a hotel for two nights and give you $500 to spend while you're out there. Can't win if you don't register. That starts at denversports.com/thefanflyaway. It's all thanks to our friends over at Sport Clips. And if you've already previously entered a fan flyaway, we already got you in this one. And once you're registered for this fan flyaway, we'll put you in all the future fan flyaways as well. So go there once, and you could be winning fan flyaways throughout 2024. It all starts at denversports.com/thefanflyaway. We're going to go to L.A. You're not going to believe what LeBron James had to say after another loss to the Lakers last night. Kobe would never. That's coming up next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Nuggets and Lakers, game three last night, ends with another L for the Los Angeles Lakers. 112-105, the final from Crypto Arena, and it was a Aaron Gordon night, a Michael Porter Jr. night. Of course, Nikola Jokic did Nikola Jokic type of things because, well, he is the MVP. 24-15-9, the Sombor double there, just an assist away from another triple-double for Nikola. Well, Jamal Murray had 22-9, but struggled to shoot the ball. 22 points, took 21 shots to get there. But the story, as we talked about earlier, is Aaron Gordon. And it is Michael Porter Jr. But there was something else, Stoke, I wanted to get into here with the Nuggets. And I got to find it real quick. But something LeBron James said after the game, I don't know that people are going to accept it. I think it makes LeBron look weak, soft almost at times. Here is what he said.
And it's just basketball. At the end of the day, it's just basketball.
So it's a longer answer. That's the end of it. And he's talking about his time with AD and them knowing what it takes to be a champion and battle through what they have to battle through. And he keeps reiterating, like, hey, when you're playing against teams like the Nuggets, you have to be perfect in every aspect for 48 minutes. They're obviously not that and don't have that ability. But that little part right there, it's just basketball. Hey, it's just basketball. That's weak, dude.
Well, see, I need more context.
Of what the answer was?
Yeah, like what the question was and what the answer was. Like, when you hear that, is he downplaying the game of basketball, like comparing it to life? Like, hey, it's just basketball. It's not life and death. Okay, we understand that. But, you know, it's so for me, I don't really know the context that he's saying it. Is he saying, hey, it's just basketball. We got to play better. Like, we're making it too big. This is just a basketball game. right? We know how to play it, and we're trying to do too much. We got to go back to just playing basketball. It's just basketball. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I think there's two different ways that he could be, of how he could be talking about what he was talking about there. And I don't know the whole context, so it's hard for me to be very critical of that answer, because I don't know exactly what he's talking about when he's saying it's just basketball.
Okay, I listened to the full answer, and I'm going to try to send it to you, Kevin. You can pull it, but it was a little bit like that. Of like he's to me, and hearing the full answer, and I'll let you judge for yourself. But it was a little bit of like, okay, we're not good enough. Knowing and recognizing this is going to be over for us sooner rather than later. And then him trying to kind of downplay what it is of, you remember last year when they got swept by the Nuggets, and he talks about retirement, and then some of the trash talk starts getting out, and then he's talking about being in a foreign country, and he's the king, and it's great to be LeBron and all that stuff. It feels a little bit similar of like, oh yeah, this is basketball.
It's not that big a deal.
I'm LeBron. You know what I got, man? I got everything. Everything you don't have, I got. And this is just a little basketball game. That's how I interpret it. Maybe I'm doing it wrong, but that's how I feel about it. And I don't like that.
No,
I don't think if you're an all-time great, you just disrespected the game by saying that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you there. If that's the context that he was using it in, yeah. Like, come on, man. We know. Sports aren't life and death. We realize that, right? But, you know, whenever all of a sudden, you know, you're getting your butt whipped, it's like, man, whatever. It's just basketball. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't compare to life and other things outside of sports. It's just a sport, you know, whatever. That's weak sauce, if that's what he was referring to and how he was using it.
Yeah, and that's how I got it, or at least how I interpreted it, and that's how I felt about it and did not like it by any means. Mentioned what AG and MPJ did, 49 points, 25 rebounds, and 6 assists between the two of them. Stoke, I tweeted this last night, and I was being serious. You get Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr. nights like that, you could construct a roster of NBA All-Stars, and they're not going to beat the Denver Nuggets.
Going to be very difficult, certainly.
Everyone knows their role. Everyone knows exactly what they're supposed to do and where they're supposed to be at all times. And then it's like this overall consensus of the team that can smell blood in the water. You know what I mean? Like, they're Jaws, and the Lakers are that girl in the tube up there, and they're just going to go destroy because they can sense that the Lakers have fatigue, that Anthony Davis is tired, that LeBron is frustrated, that D'Angelo Russell cares more about animal crackers than he does a timeout. Like, they knew all of that was happening and pounced at the perfect time.
Yeah, it's look, they're Nuggets. I mean, there's a reason why they won the championship last year, and there's a reason why they were so good this year. It's they got a group of guys that play well together, know their roles, and any given night it can be someone else. And they haven't really played a complete game so far against the Lakers. And they are the first team in 25 years to be down double digits in all three games and win it. In the playoffs.
That's crazy.
It's just remarkable, though, that they've dug themselves a hole in every game, double-digit hole deficit, and they found a way to win all three of them. So, and game number two, obviously, coming back from the 20-point deficit and how impressive that was. But Jamal, like, you look at it, and it's this is the positive of it, is Jamal hasn't really played all that well consistently for four quarters. Jokic is doing his thing. Michael Porter Jr., I think overall has been really good. Caldwell Pope, like one, I think it was the one good game, and the other one's kind of been like, eh.
There's a game when he had 4 threes in the third quarter.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Those are huge, obviously. But like Jamal, the guy that we really count on in the playoffs, he's kind of hasn't been Jamal shooting the ball, especially from three. Obviously made the big shot in game two, which was huge. But like if he gets it going, now, whoa. And I am nervous about the bench has got to play better. Maybe not against the Lakers, against the Timberwolves. You've got to play better. You got to get more from those guys. You know, just stop shooting threes. I know it's a three-point league.
Not go for those three guys.
Go to the rim. Just go to the basket. So it's that's still a big concern. But overall, when you look at the starting five, yeah, and Aaron Gordon, I mean, what a night he had. 29 points, 15 rebounds. I mean, you don't count on him getting, you know, 29 points.
No. You absolutely do not. And I would say this about the bench. I understand your worries, and I understand why there's a conversation about it. I feel like I'm way less worried about that than most. And it's, I don't know. I just look at that as...
Tell me why. Like,
I need them
why?
To come in, have a ton of energy, and play hard on the defensive end. That's really all I need. And I honestly believe if they come in and do those two things, give me a ton of energy, play hard on the defensive end. I know they struggle shooting the ball, but I would look at it and my argument against that would be, well, get out in transition. You're going to get buckets or you're going to get stops by playing hard on the defensive end. Make some players take bad shots, get a long rebound, start in transition, and try to get some Peyton Watson dunks on the other end. Christian Brown attacking the rim and getting a layup or two to the free throw line. And that's how I kind of look at the bench to be scoring, coming off of their effort and energy on the defensive end, and buckets just come in transition.
I mean, that would be nice. We're just not seeing a lot of it.
Yeah, you're
right. That's my main problem. And to your point, usually when you got, three of them out there, you're going to have two starters with them,
mm-hmm.
right? And the problem for me is, okay, you got those three guys out there, then you look up, you got Aaron Gordon, who's not a shooter, right? And then you have, whoever else, Jamal, maybe, and it's like, oh my gosh, like, the only pure scorer we have is Jamal. Like, the only shooter we have on the court right now is Jamal Murray, and he's trying to do everything. He's mm-hmm. playing one-on-one ball, yeah. right? And so that's just my big concern there. But if you could get another scorer in there with those guys to help those guys out, it's just when they get the wide-open shots, and especially if they miss a couple early, it's a wrap. So, up 3-0. I'm nitpicking a little bit. But I'm looking forward, to the next series.
Of course.
And this has been one of our concerns, mm-hmm. big concerns here for the Nuggets as the bench, and they haven't been all that good. But you're right. Hey, play great defense, bring the energy, and hopefully get out in transition and get some easy buckets. But I would just like a guy to step up and knock down a few threes, because I think moving forward, you're going to have a little bit more scoring from that bench.
Yeah, I do agree with you on that, especially against what feels like Minnesota. There's a lot of basketball we played there. But
That thing's over.
You think so?
That thing is more over than the Nuggets series.
So you remember how scared you were of the Suns?
Yes, I was. Did you watch those three games that we lost to them in the last month of the season? Yeah, I was scared. I was scared of the Lakers, but I wasn't scared of the Lakers last night.
No, you weren't.
You were.
I was.
Right.
I thought last night was the night the Lakers won.
We flipped on that.
AG was like, I got you.
Yeah, he made us feel better. I'm feeling better now. I'm feeling better about the Lakers series. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing's over Saturday night.
Gotta be.
Did you see D'Angelo Russell?
He's snacking on the bench.
Right.
Chicken fingers. Like, what do you think about snacking on the bench?
No, join your team in the huddle.
And
snack in the huddle.
Right.
Yeah.
And then just go back to the bench and eat your...
Yeah.
It's so disrespectful to everyone involved
mm-hmm.
that you're more important than what they got going on.
Yeah.
In the middle of a damn game. A playoff game.
Yep.
You know how bad of a look that is for you? D'Angelo Russell?
Yeah.
And for LeBron and for AD and for the coach? Like, D'Angelo Russell. I mean, if Michael Jordan was getting a little snack, okay. D'Angelo Russell
yeah.
is putting himself above the team.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Nuggets on their way to a sweep. Game 4 is tomorrow night, 6:30, and it's on ABC, so the world can watch the Lakers season come to an end. All right, coming back, I want to get back to the draft. Hear a little bit more from Sean Payton. Check in some with Bo Nix, as he was the 12th pick overall. Why did Sean Payton want Bo Nix so badly? He'll tell you next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Let's talk a little bit more about Bo Nix. Let's talk a little bit more about these Broncos. And let's hear Sean Payton. He was on with McAfee and Company last night. I watched none of it either, with Bill Belichick being involved. Just couldn't do it.
Yeah, I didn't see any of it. I just watched the regular main broadcast.
I feel like that's still the jam of, like, the Manning cast is, well, at least for me, that's like what I do for Monday Night Football. It's Manning cast, then traditional broadcast. I think the draft still has, like, you're still watching the draft. Right?
Yeah, I didn't, you know, take 1 second to watch that to even know if it was good or bad or to give you, like, any kind of, like, I liked it or I didn't like it because it was draft and it was Nuggets, right? So that's just the way it was. What channel was it on? Was it on, like, ESPN2?
Oh, it was on YouTube.
Okay.
And ESPN Plus.
Okay, yeah, I didn't see it. But, I mean, I'd like to know what people thought of it, right?
Yeah. I mean, they were getting coaches right away. Like, that part of it's fun. That's where I saw the Sean Payton stuff. And it was before he even sat down and did, like, a traditional interview with our media, with local folks here. And that's actually what this is from, Sean. I mean, this part of it, like I said, I just saw the clips. I think it's kind of cool, and it's on YouTube. It's for a younger crowd, and he's just FaceTiming. Or Zooming, whatever, but, you know, it's just like a FaceTime conversation. But they were talking about Bo Nix and his passing game and it not just being restricted to a short passing game.
I said, look, I'm going to take all the intermediate short throws out. I want to see how he stacks. And so we got rid of all the quick screens, the bubbles, because he can't control. That's his offense when they're calling those plays. And remove all that. First in yards per completion. First in, and so it kept coming back.
Sounds like the guys in the background are pretty fired up. They got Bo Nix.
Yeah. That must have been. Were they at the draft? They must have been at the draft.
No, that's from the Broncos facility.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the person that asked the question.
Oh, yes, they were.
It seemed like they were. That's yeah. where those people probably yes. were yes. yelling in the background. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so, like, what Sean Payton's talking about there is, like, hey, you wanted to see, like, you're watching all his film, and, like, take out all the easy stuff here. Let's see these other throws. Can he make these throws? Because it's not his fault they're calling. You know, sometimes you call a run and an RPO, mm-hmm. run pass option, and if they are loaded in the box or they have more than you can block in the box, what do? You fake it and you just pull it out and you throw a little bubble screen out there. Who cares about that, right? We want to see passes down the football field. Can you go through some reads and progressions, and can you be accurate and on time with the football? And so apparently Sean liked what he saw when they took out all that stuff that really doesn't matter.
He also talked about the accuracy from Bo Nix.
We have critical factors. You know, we don't want linebackers that can't tackle, receivers that can't. I mean, there's certain things that are musts.
Yes.
And I think it's hard to be an NFL quarterback if you know, you're not somewhat accurate.
So, once accuracy, obviously, and Bo Nix is coming in as a very accurate quarterback. I believe it's only Joe Mixon who has a higher completion percentage coming out of college than does Bo Nix right now.
I like that. You know, certainly, you know, like Sean was saying, I mean, you want a receiver that can catch. You want a linebacker that can tackle, right? We want an offensive lineman that can block.
Yeah.
I mean, those are important things to have if you want to play in the NFL. So, yeah. I want my quarterback to be accurate. That's a great thing. So is that the only thing that you need? No. But that certainly is a good start and a good first step here is just being accurate with the football.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes a long way.
That's in the job description.
Yes.
Something that you should be good at.
And he's great at it.
And he is.
In college. Now we'll see what it looks like in the NFL.
It is a little different, but you have the tools at least to bring that with you to the NFL. Speaking of McAfee, because that's where Sean was last night. That's where the cuts were from. He had Roger Goodell on. Is he on right now?
Yeah.
He's chatting it up right now. One of the things they're talking to Roger about is 18-game regular season, a 2-game preseason, and the commission is having those kind of conversations with owners, with NFLPA. All of that's being discussed right now. You and I kind of briefly discussed it off air. Like, that's coming. We knew that was coming when it turned into 17 games, didn't we?
Yeah.
And now it's just right in front of us that it'll be coming sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and, you know, they took baby steps. It's like they wanted to go to 16 to 18, you know, a couple years ago, whenever it started. And it's like, no, that's way too many games for us. And then they slide over the piece of paper with the amount of money, how much more money the players would make. Players like, all right, how about just 17?
Yeah.
Right, now let's just start slow here. We'll just take one. Hey, is that okay?
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, you knew 18 was going to happen, and that's what happened. They'll just slide that piece of paper over, and your salary goes from, you know, $700,000 to $1 million.
I'm in.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not really worried about my body. It'd be fine. Like, right. Who cares about my body?
Yeah.
You know, I'll be good. One less preseason game, like, that really matters.
Do you know the kind of things I'd be willing to do to my body for $300,000?
Yeah. A lot, I'm sure.
Yeah, a lot, Stoke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I did to my body. So I could relate to that. Yes, it will happen. And we'll have an 18-game season. It's just a matter of when. Is it in 2 years? Is it in 4 years? You know, all this stuff's got to be collectively bargained, and it's got to go back and forth with the NFLPA. I don't know when the new when it expires. I don't know if they need to wait that long. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. And then get it done before if both sides agree on it. So, yeah, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. There'll be 18-game regular season, which, all right, I love. I'm not running around getting hit.
Yeah, give me more football.
Yeah, exactly. Give me some, I like the Friday game, the Thursday. I mean, the Friday, the doubleheader on Mondays, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. The more, the better during football season. So, all right.
The current CBA ends in March of 2030. They will not wait that long to get 18 games in our lives.
No. That certainly they don't have to, but, you know, the players are going to want something in return mm-hmm. besides just more money. What do they want? What do they try to get out of it? We'll see.
Oh, we get our first guaranteed contracts with football players?
No, that'll never happen. And I don't think that's overall a good thing because, it sounds good. But what would happen to a lot of players is you're going to just be on a one-year deal, right?
Yeah.
Because the injury risk is so great that they're not going to be signing guys to 4 or 5 year deals and giving them 3 years of guaranteed money,
mm-hmm.
right? It's going to be like, just 1 year deal because, you know, the injury risk, we're not going to give you fully guaranteed. It's gotten so much better now
with the
amount of guaranteed money in contracts. Fully guaranteed deals, I don't think that will ever happen in football. And I don't think it's necessarily an awful thing because you would have, I think, guys that would, their contracts would be worse
mm-hmm.
and they would be less than what they are right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not certainly willing to fight up the hill of pay these guys more. Like, they're getting the short end of the stick. I think they're getting a smaller end of the stick, but it's certainly not the shortest end of the stick.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll see what it looks like moving forward. But, I mean, you see the guaranteed money in some of these contracts now. I mean, it's pretty dang good. I think the players have done a good job of gradually increasing that stuff. I think the one thing that players need to fight a little bit more for is retirement stuff like insurance,
mm-hmm.
right? It's gotten better, but it could be better.
All right, let's hit a timeout, come back, and relive the moment that the Broncos selected what they hope to be their franchise quarterback in Bo Nix. Plus, we'll hear what Bo Nix had to say when asked if he believes he could be the starter come week 1. That's coming up next.